Thank you for downloading this episode of Squabblebox. Squabblebox with Maisie Anderson and myself, Kai Valentine, can be found on Siren FM at 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. GMT time every Friday. For legal reasons, the music that airs live on the show has had to be cut out from the podcast. However, if you want to listen live, or maybe you want to find out more about us, you can follow us on Twitter at Squabblebox, get in touch by email, squabblebox@sirenonline.co.uk, or go to our Facebook fan page. Make sure you check out all the other great material that Siren FM puts out there on a weekly basis at www.sirenonline.co.uk. Right, that's that all done. Sit back, relax, and we hope you enjoy the show.
A great mix of music, entertainment, and more on Siren 107.3 FM. Did you know you can listen to Siren FM wherever you are? In Lincoln, tune to 107.3 FM or hear us around the world on sirenonline.co.uk or even via your mobile phone. Which means, theoretically, we can be heard in the White House, Buckingham Palace, halfway up the Eiffel Tower, or backpacking with your granny in the Amazon. Siren 107.3 FM. Local coverage. Worldwide listening.
Hello, you are listening to Siren FM. That was Behind the Headlines with another fantastic show. But now, you are listening to Squabblebox. Maisie, how good is it to be in our new time slot here on Siren FM?
I'm even more excited because that was the shortest introduction you have ever done on Squabblebox.
Oh, don't worry, that's not the end of the introduction. This is like a caveat.
No, I don't want an appetizer of the introduction.
Well, I thought, first of all, we could kind of introduce who we are, because we are in a different time slot now. We have moved from, we were 10 a.m. on Monday mornings. Now we are doing a two-hour show here on Friday, lunchtimes, 11 till 1 p.m. So, Maisie, shall we tell the listening audience a little bit about us?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we should. Myself, Kai Valentine, and...
Oh, I'm Maisie Anderson.
Yes, and we present Squabblebox, which is a bit of an interactive debate entertainment show. And we hope you'll all enjoy it. We hope that you'll get in touch in the many different ways at Siren FM on Twitter. You can get in touch via email at studio@sirenonline.co.uk or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. And we will take any sort of information on anything that we talk about, opinions, thoughts, everything like that. This is becoming a longer intro than I planned.
Are we still in the intro? I'm so confused.
A little bit.
I'm normally not allowed in the intro.
No, you're not. But, we're shaping things up differently now.
You didn't discuss this with me before we started recording.
We have a packed show for you this week. We have a fantastic, in-depth and generally hilarious interview with BBC presenter and Channel 4 presenter Adam Pearson coming up very soon on the show. But first, can you believe that Stephen Moffat is leaving Doctor Who? Yes, the big news came out earlier this week that Broadchurch showrunner Chris Chibnall will be taking over after the 10th season. Maisie, how do you feel about this?
I wish you'd let me answer the can you believe bit.
Alright, can you believe it?
Yes. And then end of discussion.
I can believe it.
I can believe
because
it.
Because it's happening.
Not only because it's happening, but because it's been in discussion for a long time. At least between sort of fans,
yes.
At least.
And I will say here, guys, this is, for people who aren't Doctor Who fans, this isn't going to be a two-hour show talking about Doctor Who.
Not that we don't want it to be.
Oh, no, definitely not. So, Whovians, you're going to enjoy this next little bit. Not so much of you, but we hope you do enjoy it.
Yes, don't tell people they're not going to enjoy the show, Kai.
That's a really, really bad start from me. Slap on the hand. Stephen Moffat has been the showrunner for Doctor Who for quite a few years now. How many years has it been, Maisie?
Oh, gosh. It's going to be...
6 or 7, maybe?
I can't actually figure it out in my head.
If anyone knows, they can get in touch with us on the means that I mentioned.
Or we could just Google it.
Yeah, that's one thing to do. But I personally have always quite liked Stephen Moffat. He gets a lot of stick off of fans because Russell T Davies was a brilliant showrunner before him.
Yes.
And obviously that was the Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant sort of era.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's exactly what it was.
Yes, which people look back on very, very fondly. However, I quite like Stephen Moffat's style. One thing that I'm going to miss if this Chris Chibnall guy doesn't pick up on it is the amount of trolling that Stephen Moffat did to fans.
My problem with it is that Stephen Moffat didn't quite have enough subtlety when it came to his digs at the audience and his and a lot of the sort of weird stuff that he did that just wasn't didn't flow quite as well and always seemed really out of place and stagnated.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying there. I mean, when it came to Stephen Moffat, when it comes to Chris Chibnall, I haven't seen Broadchurch before. Have you?
Yes, it's fantastic. Yes. Why have you not watched it?
This is what I've heard about it. I need to watch it.
It's so good. I mean, it's hard-hitting, and it was going to make you really sad.
Yes.
It's not fun to watch, but it's satisfying to watch.
I remember
it's so well done.
When the first series came out, everyone was really, really invested in it. I just didn't get into it. I think it was because I was doing my AS levels or A levels at the time. So
was I, and I still watched it.
Yeah. But I remember people being invested in it and all the subtleties about it, and that seems to be something that I really hope that he brings to the table at Doctor
Definitely.
Who.
I mean, this is the thing. I don't want to spend the next 10 minutes of the show complaining about Stephen Moffat, because it's not fair, and it's my personal opinion.
Yes.
And there's no chance that I'm going to try and cement that onto somebody else. I don't even think cement's a word.
That's why we call it Squabblebox, ladies and gentlemen.
When we talk about this at home, it gets way more heated.
Let's talk about Peter Capaldi, because he is obviously the Doctor at the moment.
He's the current Doctor,
he's going to be doing the 10th season, which will be going out in spring 2017.
Which is a very weird place to put Doctor Who.
Definitely. It's going to be a bit weird.
It's normally a September thing, and it sort of
leading
follows
into the Christmas special as well.
Yeah.
Even if they don't have a link, it's normally leading into Christmas. However, it's going to be a bit different. And do you think that this could possibly be Peter Capaldi's final Doctor Who?
I don't think there's any way of knowing until any information about the contracts come out.
No.
Or if until somebody directly says, I'm in this position where I like the idea of Capaldi staying on just so that there's something to link the whole series together, because that was something that happened when Moffat took over, is that everything in the series changed.
Yes.
Part of that was his decision, part of that was because it was going to change anyway. Like Matt Smith coming on as the Doctor.
Yes.
The fact that the interior of the TARDIS, which was the main set piece, changed. Even as far down as the screwdriver and the companion changed. So everything was very new all at once, so it felt like a completely different show.
Yes.
Until it started getting its rhythm again. And that's something that I feel is very hard for a new showrunner to come into. I can understand why a lot of people have been saying, but if Capaldi leaves and then he gets his own actor to play the Doctor, then it's going to be a clean slate for him.
Yes.
But if anything, that's actually going to make it a lot harder. Not necessarily meaning that he's not going to take
that
on the challenge.
That was one of the things that's one of the things that Stephen Moffat struggled with originally, is that, you know, he got a new Doctor, he got a new companion in straight away and everything like that. I know you've said this
everything
in the past.
I just said a second ago.
Yeah, exactly. I was just reiterating the point because it was a good point.
Yes, you do like to steal my arguments.
Now, the thing about I really like Peter Capaldi as the Doctor. Personally, I really want him to stick around for a bit longer. But the thing with when the Doctors change, we always seem to go through this period of people go, oh no, I'm going to miss this Doctor. Like when David Tennant left, no one thought that Matt Smith would be able to step up to the plate. Matt Smith stepped up to the plate. I know I've got a friend who listened to this called Justin from America, and he really got into it. And when he saw Matt Smith turning up, he thought, oh no, I'll never be able to watch it again.
I knew a lot of people like that. I remember at junior school when me and you, being the ages we are, would have been at primary school during the switchover between Eccleston and Tennant.
Yes.
And up until then, we'd known nothing different because we hadn't seen the original. Most of us hadn't seen the original series. I saw a few because my dad's a huge hardcore Whovian fan. But the interesting thing was that I knew a lot of people who didn't watch the Tenant series.
Oh, right.
Because they liked Eccleston so much. And as a kid, it's kind of that's easier to understand, yeah. Well, it's changed, so I don't like it. Adults doing it is a little weird.
Yeah, I mean, I never actually watched the Christopher Eccleston series when it first went out.
Yeah.
I only started watching I'm a bit fuzzy of where I started watching Doctor Who. Because yeah. I've seen them on other channels, the older ones
yeah,
as well.
See, I'm not so stagnated because I definitely
your
watched,
family were very much into
I
it.
I definitely watched the first Eccleston episode the night it aired with my family because my mum and dad, because they were huge fans when they were kids when it was the classic Doctor Who's.
Yes.
And well, now known as the classic Doctor Who's. And so when they saw that it was coming back and they saw it was Christopher Eccleston, which is an actor they both liked, and Billie Piper, which confused them at first, because before she was well known as an actress, she was actually like a teen pop star.
Yes.
And so they made me and my sister watch it, and we both fell in love. I don't know whether my sister still carries on with the series or not.
No, I mean, I personally, I have this memory in my mind from Doctor Who of... I remember watching, I had this vivid memory of me watching David Tennant's regeneration scene when he turned into Matt Smith. And I remember being sat on my bunk bed in my old house and my mum came in to watch it with me for a couple of minutes and then she left. And like I just remember that moment of my mum coming in and watching it. And then go. She didn't have any interest at all.
She just came.
But I just have that memory in my mind for some reason. However, that's been brilliant talking about our opinions of Doctor Who.
Yes, but we want to know yours.
Yes, so get in touch with us on Twitter at SirenFM. Use the hashtag SquabbleBox so that we know what you're talking about and who you're sending it to.
So much easier to find you as well.
Oh, definitely. But you can also get in touch with us on our Facebook fan page, SquabbleBox, or on the Siren FM email, which is studio@sirenonline.co.uk. Now, coming up soon, we're going to be having a fantastic interview with Adam Pearson, as we mentioned. Now, Adam is a television presenter for the BBC and for Channel 4. He's also done a couple of films as well. He's done a film with Scarlett Johansson, Under the Skin. He's coming back on the show to talk about... because he's been on TV a lot the last few weeks.
Yeah, and he was... one of our first guests when we moved to Siren as well.
Yes, for people who don't know much about Adam, Adam has a condition called NF1, which he describes it as it makes tumours grow on his face. And I believe so that is how he describes it. So that's how I'm going to describe it. That's the simple way to put it. And Adam will be coming on the show. It's a very, very funny interview. We're going to head into a song now. Maisie, what are we heading into?
This is going to be Mardi Bum by Arctic Monkeys.
Argumentative, and you've got the face on. Hello and welcome back to Siren FM. You are listening to Squabblebox and we have a fantastic guest back on the show. Yes, we talked about him earlier. Adam Pearson is on the show, everybody. How are you doing, Adam?
Very good, thank you, Kai. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well, thank you, mate. So myself and Maisie wanted to have a little bit of a chat about to you today because you've been very busy over the past few weeks being on TV.
Yeah, I've been on TV every week this year so far, which is... quite hard to do unless you're in the news for the wrong reasons.
Oh, dear.
Oh, starting the interview off great. Adam has a reputation for some no-holds-barred interview style. So you've been on TV last week. We want to talk, first of all, about your big documentary on BBC Three, which was Adam Pearson Freak Show. First of all, I want to get in there with a really, really sort of the meaty question first is that you said this on the documentary. You said that I dislike the idea of freak shows intensely. I think it's exploitative, parading people around for the spectacle of the baying masses. Now, since you've done the documentary, that was at the very beginning. Since you've been to America and seen these freak shows, do you still agree with that statement?
I am a lot more comfortable with them than I was when I made that statement. I'm by no means jacking in my job to run up and join the circus either. But I'm not as vehemently against them as I used to be.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
So what was it about the freak shows that actually made you change your mind?
When you talk to the performers and the people that are there, A, they all have skills. It's not men in cages like it is in David Lynch's 1980 film, The Elephant Man. No. They can all swallow sores, juggle fire, walk on glass. Jake, whom I met in Las Vegas, owns a wrestling company called Midgets Unleashed. They all have real-world skills, and they all very much love what they do. They're not doing it because their hand has been forced and it's the best job they can make in life. They all love performing and want to be there. And when you hear that firsthand from the people who are on the ground putting the graft in, it's quite hard to knock it.
That's really, really interesting.
It is very interesting. although I do wonder, because you can imagine it's quite a tough environment to be in, especially when you have to film it at the same time. I mean, was there anything in particular that you found very difficult while you were filming?
The letting your guard down is always quite hard as a documentary maker. And there are those times when you have to let yourself be a bit more emotionally vulnerable than you otherwise would. It's all very easy to go overseas on a documentary and just front it out and be very clinical and analytical about everything. But to take it all in whilst delving into the dark parts of your past at the same time, at the start was quite tricky, but then the more you settle into it and the more you hit the road and the more people you talk to, the easier it gets. And there comes a breaking point in everyone where you just stop overthinking it and roll with it. And I don't know if you've ever done bondage with a porn star in a wheelchair, but that is absolutely the breaking point for most people.
Oh, that was a very, very entertaining part of the documentary. And people who haven't seen the documentary have now got a reason to go and watch it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm not even making that up. That's literally what happened.
Now, you mentioned at the start that you... that you were called the name The Elephant Man while you were at school, and obviously that was Joseph Merrick. And the fact that you then went to not only see his skull, but you also went and tried on the type of sort of veil mask that he would wear out in public, was that something that you found quite difficult?
Yeah, that was the first thing we filmed as well, very much in at the deep end. Everything from that point on, in theory, had to be easier. And I'm not a hat guy anyway, so I at least wore a hat that carries such weighty connotations for me. And the fact we're the same height, and that was his real skeleton in that cabinet. There's a replica in the museum that you saw at the start. And in the room with the hat, that's his actual skeleton in a cabinet. It's a short list of people that have been in that room. I'm on the same list as Johnny Depp, Bradley Cooper and Michael Jackson, which is a weird list.
Wow, that sounds like a really night out.
It sounds like the best dinner party ever.
or the worst dinner party ever, depending on who you are.
I mean, because of the connotations of the phrase Elephant Man that you had as a child, did that leave you with any sort of prejudged feelings about Joseph?
Not about Joseph, because I don't know the guy. It's really hard to get bent out of shape and jacked up about a guy who you don't know, have never met, and who's been dead for 150 years. That's like getting annoyed at Henry VIII. It's a pointless endeavour. It's the film and the association with it, as well as the medical side of things, because we don't have the same condition, as I've had pointed out to me numerous times on Facebook by charities. The documentary went out.
Yes, because
I already know. Like that's the thing that frustrated me the most with them. I all those things you're tweeting at me, I said in the school playground when people called it to me, and I'll be honest, that got me a kick in. So no one has ever gone, oh, I will give you a new nickname then, when you point out the diagnostic errors of their endeavours. But hey-ho, what can you do? People also didn't like the title. And my response to that is, it's a programme hosted by me about freak shows. It's the most straightforward title in television.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was telling a few friends of mine earlier on in the week before it came on, I was saying when I saw it advertised as Adam Pearson Freak Show, I thought, wow, he's getting somewhere now. He's having his name in the actual title.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was you that messaged me that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, look at me.
No, it's something that I've actually been learning about in one of my modules last semester, is about the certain TV personalities and film personalities who do put their names in front of everything. So you're on the same level as Michael Winterbottom at the moment.
Nice. Almost certain it's a compliment. Thank you.
Mm. So, Adam, how is it that you feel about the Elephant Man now? Do you still actively avoid references to him?
No. I'm very careful to clear up the medicine before I do make a reference, because I'm not going to all that nonsense again on Facebook.
Yes.
But no, I'll make the references and I'll talk about him, and I've read the books now about the real life story and the film versus the actual truth.
Yes.
And where inconsistencies and stuff are. I'm fine with the reference now. Please still don't that gives people carte blanche to holler at me in the street. Just because I'm fine with the guy and fine with the film doesn't mean I'm fine with the insult.
Yes.
I'm also fine with 12 years of faith, but please don't hold that word at me. Yeah, me either.
Yeah. Do you actually, this might sound like an ignorant thing to ask, but do you actually get a lot of abuse while you're walking about on the streets, even now that you've been on TV a bit?
Yeah, not anymore. You only get it from big groups of children who think they're being clever or badasses by doing it. But other people's ignorance isn't my problem and will never be my problem, and I'm not going to make it my problem. They can get on with not being on TV, and I'll get on with actually being on TV.
How do you actually feel about the curiosity of people, that if say someone was to come over to you on the street who had never seen you before and ask you, excuse me, what condition do you have, and they were very polite, would you be fine answering those sort of questions?
Absolutely. That is the best way to go about it. The only way to avoid curiosity becoming a problem is to ask the questions. So if people want to know and want to come up and have the conversation or take the selfie or what have you, that's completely fine.
Because we saw a lot of that you were in Las Vegas on the documentary of people coming up. There were some people that were staring and it wasn't the best experience, but there were a lot of people that were coming up and asking you questions, so that seemed quite cool.
Yeah, and it was Halloween, to be fair. I wasn't the only one.
Yes.
In costume, or not in costume, as the case actually was.
Yes, and how much money was it that you raised from just standing out in the street and having photos?
I made about $18 in half an hour.
Oh, that's brilliant. Now, for people who haven't seen the end of the documentary, I don't want to fully ruin it for you. However,
oh, yeah, we don't do spoilers here on Squabble Box.
No, definitely. But I did have sort of like a sort of issue with the ending, in the fact that I didn't want it to come... I loved the documentary. However, I know you. When the cameras are rolling, when we're off air, we've spoken quite a few times. We speak quite regularly. And I know that you're a very funny and entertaining guy. And you said something on the documentary you had people telling you that you should use your disability and your facial disfigurement as a means for your act and your comedy. How do you feel? I don't think it's needed. I think that you would have still been in the same position based on your personality alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Though I'm also quite a big fan of self-deprecating humour.
Yes.
Even when I do normal stand-up, I open with like a really strong, edgy disability joke just to address the issue everyone's thinking.
Yes.
But it isn't necessarily the backbone of what I do normally. But for the purposes of Lynchian-style cabaret, that just has to be how it was. And for the purposes of the experience and the journey,
so this is
that had to be how it was. It was addressing the elephant in the room. Unintended.
Yes. So this isn't something that you will be, because this is one thing I worried, it's not something that you're going to be adding to your regular comedy routine from now on.
No, more than likely not. It'll be a complete, if I do it again, not saying I will, but I'm not writing it off, it'll be a completely separate thing from my regular stand-up of awfulness and skullduggery.
Well, that is really great to hear. So thank you, Adam, for talking to us. Adam is going to be joining us later on in the show, so stick around. We'll be talking about his other show that he's been in these past few weeks.
Well, as he said, one show per week, yep, at the least.
Tricks of the Restaurant Trade. So we'll be getting all the details on that when we come back. So, Maisie, let's get into another song.
Yes, we'll be right back after this.
You are listening to Siren FM. It's 11:35 and we are here with Squabblebox.
Yes, and that was My Generation by The Who.
Now, Maisie, we've just had Adam Pearson on the show. Adam's going to be back a little bit later on talking about his other show that he's been on the last few weeks, Tricks of the Restaurant Trade. That'll be coming up sometime in the second hour.
It will.
However, Maisie, that was a brilliant interview from Adam to start us off with.
I always enjoy an interview with Adam.
Adam's documentaries are really, really informative and they really get you thinking. Like I say, he did one a couple of months ago called The Ugly Face of Disability Hate Crime.
Yes, which was the first documentary we interviewed him about.
Yes, that was on our very first show on Siren FM.
2015.
Yes, all those months ago. But he was great then and we had to get him back on to talk about all this stuff. Now... The documentary, I brought it up a little bit at the end. I sort of had a mixed feelings when I watched it for the first time.
Yeah.
Because I kind of felt like he didn't need to use the whole Elephant Man, what you would call, gimmick to his advantage, because he's a funny guy without having to use his disability. Now, going back on that, I did think when I was watching it again, I went, actually, it's all about the person's opinion. Same with everyone who takes part in these freak shows across America. I don't know how you felt about all that.
I mean, this is the thing. I feel like anybody who has what some would consider a disadvantage in life,
yes,
whether it's something that's external or internal, trying to use that to better your life and take control of what it is that you might be mocked for, I feel like there's something really endearing about that. But then again, it depends on who you are. Some people want to try and use that to their advantage. Other people want to be seen for who they are, not what they look like or what kind of conditions they have.
Oh, definitely.
So, like you said a minute ago, it really does depend on the person and how they want to live and how they feel most comfortable, I suppose.
Oh, yes. And, I feel like Adam's documentaries really get this sort of thing across that you... And actually, having someone like Adam on television is something that should be happening. The fact that he's now doing TV that... I know we'll probably talk about this later on with him, but he's now doing TV that isn't anything to do with disability. Yeah. Which is a brilliant thing to have those sort of people represented on national television. Now, Maisie, I believe we've had an email in.
We have. I mean, if you weren't listening before the interview, we were talking about Doctor Who because it was announced around about a week ago that they're changing showrunners from Stephen Moffat to...
Chris Chibnall.
And one thing that we were talking about was the fact whether or not they should give him a fresh start and just sort of press the reset button on Doctor Who.
Yes.
By giving him a new Doctor, new Screwdriver, new TARDIS. Well, Rick Anderson has emailed in saying, but if the Doctor sets and Screwdrivers don't change, what new toys would the kiddies get for Christmas? Won't somebody think of the children?
Oh, someone had to go there. Yes,
it's true.
It's a very commercial thing as well. We've got to remember that.
It is, but considering... I mean, I don't want to go into a whole debate about it, but considering the way that the licence fee is going at the moment, the BBC need all the money they can get.
Yes. It's a very, very good point, and the fact that... You know, I know that if you... I know from being a... Because I collect wrestling figures.
Yes.
And
I you're so easily swayed by merchandising.
If people... If they bring out a new wrestling figure, I will. I've stopped buying them for a good few. Yeah. I haven't bought them for about 6 months now. However, I know people who, whenever a new one comes out, if it's someone that they haven't got, or if they're in a different costume, or you only have to change little bits about their hairstyle, and they will buy it.
Well, this is the thing. They actually, the merchandising of Doctor Who, they also have, like, you can get all sorts of figurines and toys based on the classic Doctor Who's as well.
Yes.
Because they didn't really merchandise that much during the classic era. Although they did, they just didn't do it nearly as much as they do it now.
Yes.
So, like, a really popular brand of figurines is Pop Vinyl.
Yes.
I have quite a few, and other figurines are available. But, but yeah, I got a David Tennant one for Christmas, and it's adorable. But you can also get a Ted Baker one.
Yes.
Ted Baker. Ted Baker's a designer. I would love a little popular final figure of Ted Baker, the designer. That would be fantastic.
But yeah, that's a brilliant thing. And that, they do the same with wrestling figures. They've got the Pop Vinyls, and they're very, very popular at the moment. Now, Maisie, I think we'll head into another song, and then we'll talk a little bit. We're going to go on to our next topic, because obviously we're 2 hours now. We have more topics, and we'll be right back after this. Well, Maisie, what we're going into?
We are going into Sorry by Justin Bieber.
You are listening to Siren FM. It's 11:44 and we are here. We are Squabble Box. Yes, we're new to this time slot here on Siren FM. We're going to be with you every Friday, taking up your lunch hour 11 till 1. So I hope you'll enjoy today's show and come back and join us. Later on in the second hour, we're going to be hearing from Adam Pearson again, talking about tricks of the restaurant trade and what he's got coming up next. However, now we're going to talk a little bit about our next topic, which is the buzzword, Maisie. What's the buzzword?
This week's buzzword is communication.
Communication, yes we all use it.
This is something that I chose to bring up to Kai because I read an article recently about Facebook's starting to think about integrating new forms of the like button.
Yes.
The like button, for those of you who aren't very Facebook savvy, is basically just a button you click to make someone know that you have seen and that you're interested and that you like what they've posted. Very simple, very straightforward, but a lot of people have started thinking about how you could use different versions of it.
Basically, they wanted a dislike button for a long
time. A lot of people wanted a dislike button. I think most people were against it in the end, because that's quite cruel.
Yes.
Is being able to tell someone, no, I don't like you.
However, now you can, you will be able to, in the next few weeks, use emojis, which I'm sure we'll get talking about more as we get on. But the thing about communication, we want to hear from you, so get in touch with us at Siren FM on Twitter.
Yes, we want to communicate with you. Buzzword.
Get in touch with us on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk on our Facebook fan page, Squabble Box. And what we want to tell you is the world has become so small over the past 15 years because there have been many ways to easily communicate with one another, and the way we talk through different mediums seems to change every single year. So what we want to know from you is, what method of communication do you use? Are you a texter, a FaceTimer, a Snapchatter, an emoji user, or maybe you like doing things the old-fashioned way and still send letters? Let us know how you like to communicate, and we'll be talking about all the different means of communication as the show goes on.
Did you just sneak a second introduction into this show?
I might have sneaked a second introduction into the show, but it sounded like I wasn't reading it, hopefully.
No, it didn't sound like that at all. You're clearly reading it from your
Maisie,
iPad.
Maisie does not like my introductions.
I don't.
This is why we call it Squabble Box, everyone. I keep telling you this. We don't actually get along. We just get thrown in a room for 2 hours every Friday. Now, Maisie, so how do you communicate with people the most?
It depends.
Okay.
It depends on who it is.
Yes.
And it depends on what I have available.
Yes.
Because for a long time, I didn't have a working phone.
No.
So
That's kind of like me.
People were mostly getting online messages from me.
Yes.
I can think back on how I used to communicate with people. And I used to use Instant Messenger.
Yes, that was on, was that MSN?
MSN. It was MSN when we were kids. It was AOL even further before that.
That was a big thing in our childhood where you used to be able to like buzz people to bump or something to get them to, you could make their screen vibrate
or
something.
Yeah, you could do all sorts of weird stuff.
That was weird. Oh, that. But obviously that then became Windows Live Messenger and now it's defunct. Yeah, it's no longer around.
It was a thing of the teenagers of the late noughties.
Yes.
To talk to your crush on Instant Messenger. And like keep logging in and off, in and out.
Yes.
So that you could get people's attention.
Yeah, that was, oh, and you could always set your, you had like a status. This was well before Facebook became massive. You could have like a status of what you were doing.
Status.
A bit like what you can do on Skype now. I think actually they got bought by Skype.
It wouldn't surprise me, but yeah, the system works the same way as Skype does. You can be busy, you can be available, you can be invisible.
Yes.
If there was someone that you didn't want to talk to. You could also play games with each other and talk at the same time.
Yeah.
Which was really strange.
Yeah, that is strange. But apparently, the thing is with me is I have a phone that is not the best for texting on or doing anything on. I'm not going to say the name of it, obviously.
It's basically just a thing to put in your pocket to make it look like you have a good phone.
Just in case of emergencies, it's there. But since we're around, you know, here in the Siren Studios and around the campus in uni and back home, we have Wi-Fi. Everywhere, and Wi-Fi is everywhere now. So I've now got my iPad, which people who've listened to this show before will know I use for literally everything,
including communicating with your family.
And that's what I use. We'll talk about a couple of the mediums later on in the show, but the main one that I use is Facebook Messenger.
Yes,
that has become my go-to place. If anyone needs to get in contact with me, Facebook Messenger is the way to go because I'm more likely to check that than my phone nowadays. And that kind of amazes me. But the great
thing... It's also really annoying for me.
Yes, definitely.
Because I try my best to text you whenever I can because I know that you... Because I know that you nearly always have signal. I don't know that you always have Wi-Fi. That's the only issue that comes with communicating over the internet, especially if you're trying to do it while you're walking around.
Yes.
Doing it in your home or in a stable building place where there's Wi-Fi will always be there is one thing. Doing it when you're wandering around... on the campus or just in town, it doesn't work the same way.
Yes.
So I'm always worried that I'm not going to be able to contact you.
Yeah, I do have that. So I know that one of our flatmates, Becky, she gets very annoyed at
me. She does.
Because
she hates that you don't have a phone.
Because my phone goes from, I'll be going from Facebook Messenger to text messaging to Facebook Messenger. So I do need to get that sorted out. However, that's like I say, you can get in touch with us all about the ways that you communicate. What do you like to do for communication?
I mean, it'll be pretty clear depending on how you communicate with us.
We've had a few messages in many different ways, so we'll be able to talk about those later on in the show. Now, coming up in the second hour, we're going to be talking again to Adam Pearson about his show Tricks of the Restaurant Trade. That'll be coming up just after the news in the second hour. However, we are going to send you into another song now, and it's going to be, we're going to send you into Pet Shop Boys with Always On My Mind, and we're going to set a little quiz for you now, and we want to know what year was this song released in. We'll tell you in about half an hour. Maisie, let's go into it.
Yeah, let's see if anybody can get it before we do. We'll be right back after this.
Got a favourite show? Listen live and get in touch on sirenonline.co.uk.
Soul music with an extra twist on Monday at 7 p.m. and Saturday midday on Siren FM. That's the promise from Soul 67 on 107.3.
A great mix of music, entertainment and more on Siren 107.3 FM.
Did you know you can listen to Siren FM wherever you are? In Lincoln, tune to 107.3 FM or hear us around the world on sirenonline.co.uk or even via your mobile phone. Which means, theoretically, we can be heard in the White House, Buckingham Palace, halfway up the Eiffel Tower, or backpacking with your granny in the Amazon. Siren 107.3 FM. Local coverage. Worldwide listening.
Want to have your say? Have your 15 minutes of fame? Or just say hello?
Hello.
Getting in touch is easier than ever. Text us on 07797 800 716. Drop us an email to studio@sirenonline.co.uk or find us on social networks like Facebook and Twitter. Just search for Siren FM. Have your voice heard on your community radio station. Siren 107.3 FM.
Here we go.
Siren FM.
Like your radio local? Tune in to Siren FM 107.3. The latest news and sport on Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station.
From the Sky News Centre at 12, buildings have been damaged and travel disrupted as Storm Gertrude made its way across the north of the UK. The 90-mile-an-hour winds meant a ferry had to abandon coming into dock and has gone back out to sea until it tries again this afternoon. Emma Borman from the Met Office says the winds are dying down almost everywhere.
But the worst is yet to come for parts of the Northern Isles. Shetland in particular could see gusts getting up to 100 miles per hour later on this afternoon. And for that, we have the red weather warning out, the highest warning, and that means there is a danger to life.
Some breaking news, and HSBC says it successfully defended its internet banking service from a cyber attack. The website's been down this morning, but the bank says transactions have not been affected. It's understood three of Britain's industrial titans are giving Sheffield Forge Masters a £30 million support package. The Ministry of Defence brokered a deal for three firms to underwrite bank loans to the steelmaker, which is a supplier to the Trident nuclear submarines. 800,000 worldwide child deaths could be avoided each year if more mothers breastfed their babies for longer. Simon Hancock reports.
At this parent and toddler group, some mums regret not breastfeeding.
It made you feel quite a lot of pressure to breastfeed.
I wished I had to give her the best start in life.
It's no wonder then. The UK has one of the world's lowest rates. The Royal College of Midwives admits it's a challenge.
Society is perhaps not as supportive as it could be. Later on, of course, women are thinking about returning to work.
The report in The Lancet also says breastfeeding could help to reduce a child's chances of developing diabetes.
Andy Murray will have to go the distance if he's to reach his fifth Australian Open tennis final. He's 2-1 down against Canada's Milos Raonic in his last four match. Novak Djokovic awaits the winner on Sunday. And Tesco says it's going to reduce its opening hours at nearly a fifth of its 24-hour stores. They'll close between midnight and 6 a.m. from later this year. The retailer says it'll make savings, which can then be passed on to customers. That's the latest. I'm Barry Weir.
This is Siren FM.
Hello, and you're back with Squabble Box on Siren FM. You were just listening to Firework by Katy Perry, and before then, Party by Beyoncé featuring Andre 3000.
Yes, we hope you all enjoyed the news. And before that, when we were last here, we were talking about the Pet Shop Boys, and Always On My Mind. We asked you, what year did the Pet Shop Boys' Always On My Mind released? We've had a couple of answers in that are very not agreeing with each other.
Yeah, there's some juxtaposing answers.
We will be telling you the answer to that later on in the show. Now, after the next song, we're going to be talking to Adam Pearson again, talking about his Tricks of the Restaurant Trade television show on Channel 4. So, Maisie, we'll head into another song now, and when we come back, we will be talking more to Adam. Enjoy what we're listening to, Maisie.
This is You Don't Own Me by Grace featuring Jay Easy.
You're listening to Siren FM. We are here and we are back with Channel 4 and BBC presenter Adam Pearson. How are you doing, Adam?
Yo,
are you doing any differently than you were about 20 minutes ago?
I am doing no differently. I've had a Coke, but other than that, it's all good.
Awesome.
Wow. Well, Adam, we have got you on to talk about your show that's been running the past few weeks of the new year, Tricks of the Restaurant Trade on Channel 4.
Yes, I'm finally using my degree. The mother is thrilled.
What was your degree?
Business management. This is right up my street.
Now the final episode aired this week,
yes.
Didn't it? Yeah, on Tuesday night. And
they're
still all available on all four if you listen to this. And obviously you're going to listen to this and become interested and want to go watch it if you haven't already.
It's kind of the whole
really
point.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
I had to go to uni to learn that restaurants make profit. That's 3 years of my life.
To be fair, I'm spending 3 years of my life learning how to make TV, so you're already quite a few stages ahead of me without needing a specific degree.
Also, probably a lot older than you, my dear.
That does help. I mean, watching the actual show for ourselves, we noticed that there were quite a few shocking moments that I think a lot of sort of the layman wouldn't really notice just being a consumer for a restaurant. So what would you say was probably the most shocking thing that you realised while you were presenting the show?
The markup on pasta is ridiculous. I had no idea. Even when they told me, because I didn't find out the actual statistics until about 5 minutes till we started talking to the public. And I was like, that's bloody ridiculous. What are you on? I can't keep a straight face and tell them that.
Oh wow! That was because there was like salmon and there was pasta. Because what was the pasta? Do you remember the statistics?
It was carbonara. It had a 618% markup,
which is
that's my favourite.
I know. Maybe I'm
being cheated.
Something else that I came across in the last episode of the series is the fact with chicken. Now this wasn't on a bit that you presented, Adam, but the fact that chicken. Was actually they get the same KFC get the same chicken as places like other high-end restaurant chains. It's the exact same chicken.
For those of you in Lincoln, pretty much all the ones on the Brayford.
Yeah, all the ones on the Brayford for everyone in Lincoln. But did you enjoy making the show, Adam?
Yeah, it was really fun, and Simon and Kate are great, and got to use my degree. There's fun fact. There's actually a little bit of Tricks of the Restaurant Trade at the start of Freak Show.
Oh, I did notice that. That was when someone shouted something at you, wasn't it?
Yeah. We were filming Tricks of the Restaurant Trade when that happened. And then we had to go back and have like a proper meeting about it. And then me and my boss just looked at each other and went, why didn't that happen? We were making hate crime. Seriously.
That Hate Crime is another documentary that Adam did last year that he talked about last time he was on the show. But you can find that online as well. Now, Adam, talking about some other TV, what would you like to do in the future? What's there for you? What would be your dream job to... Because you're also an actor. What would be something that you'd like to star in or something you'd like to present?
I want to keep making documentaries. I'm fascinated with America. It's got so many weird subcultures in it that I just love to explore and get really hands-on with. Maybe go spend a week with the Bronies or see if I can become a wrestler in a month or anything like that where you spend real time with real people and push yourself out of your comfort zone is amazing. Hopefully, fingers crossed, restaurant treatments will be back.
Yes.
Oh, yes, because it's been renewed for a second series, hasn't it?
I am not sure, but hopefully. Oh. I can not confirm or deny.
Because the great little bit of PR there, Adam. But there was something that I came across on Twitter was the fact that a lot of people were saying, actually, Adam, you should be presenting more things that aren't to do with disability, which is what the brilliant thing was about Tricks of the Restaurant Trade.
Yes, indeed. I'm finally branching away from that. I don't mind doing the disability stuff, because if you're going to have someone do it, they need to do it well.
Yes.
And if we get someone on who doesn't know what they're doing, it sets us back like 10 years or something ridiculous.
Yes.
But I want to do things that I care about or that I'm interested in. And whatever comes in, I'll take everything on a case-by-case basis and see what happens. Hopefully you haven't seen the last of me on TV.
Oh, I'm sure we haven't, Adam. I'm sure you'll be back with us later on in the year to tell us even more stuff.
if Ofcom get hold of the European Upper Cup podcast, I'm in the world as well.
Just for a little bit of context, that is a podcast that Adam and Kai do together, which is specifically about wrestling.
Yes.
And the whole culture of wrestling.
Because Adam, myself and Adam, are big wrestling fans, and that can also be found on the DSJMP network,
it
which
can.
Is what this show will be posted onto. An edited version of this show is going to be posted onto from this week.
Oh,
so
you have
great,
such amazing segues.
Great for putting the plug in there, Adam, for me. You just sort of lined that one up. So earlier on in the show, we have been discussing about Doctor Who. Now, Adam, are you a Doctor Who fan?
I'm not a Whovian. I'm aware of its existence, and it's kind of been on in the background in my house.
Yeah, and it's hard.
I'm not obsessed with it.
It's one of those.
I know Matt and I know David somewhat well. Because BBC, how we roll.
You've got to put the name plug. You've got to plug a name that you know on every time you come on this show. You're always dropping names, Adam.
It's how I roll. I, to be fair, when I'm with them, I'm like,
you know,
Valentine. I do.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, Adam, we would like to thank you for coming on the show today. You have been absolutely fantastic. There's nothing else you can tell us, I'm guessing, about what you've got coming up next.
My hands are tied, my lips are sealed.
Well, that keeps the mystery. You can follow Adam on Twitter at Adam_Pearson, like he likes to say. He got in there early.
Not early enough so he doesn't need the underscore, though.
No.
I want the underscore. Like, grammar. Amazing. Grammar.
However, like I say, check out Freak Show, Adam Pearson Freak Show, on BBC iPlayer. It's going to be on there for another 26 days. And also you can find all the episodes of Tricks of the Restaurant Trade on all four. Thank you for coming on the show, Adam. We'll hopefully have you on again in the future.
Oh, definitely.
We will be right back after this.
Hello, you are back with Squabblebox on Siren FM. That was Stevie Knows by Olly Murs.
I really liked that song. I've
I
not heard
really
that one.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
that's new for us.
That's going on my playlist from now on.
Oh, dear.
Now,
I'm going to hear it
forever. Maisie gets fed up with my playlist.
This is the thing. My bedroom in our house is right above the... because we have two bathrooms.
Yeah.
And you not
I
only
sing
listen,
in the shower.
No, you don't sing in the shower. You sing in the bathtub. That's even weirder. And I can always hear it.
Oh, well, thanks, Maisie, for that. Thank you very much. Now, earlier on in the show, we gave you a little bit of a quiz, and that was Always On My Mind by the Pet Shop Boys. We wanted the Pet Shop Boys version, and we wanted to know what year it was released.
We do. We had one answer come in from Craig Lee Henthorne, suggesting that it was 1988. Is he close, Kai?
Well, we've had a little bit of a back and forth on this one because Gary from Huddersfield has sent in a message saying that he believes it was 1987.
Ooh.
That the Pet Shop Boys version came out, and I will tell you, we had written down that it was 1988.
We did, as the release year.
Yes. However, it turns out that the Pet Shop Boys version actually was released for the first time on a B-side in November the 29th, 1987. So I'm sorry, Craig, but Gary has got it right. So thank you, Gary. You were the only person to get it right this week.
He was.
However, we'll be doing some of these in future weeks, I'm sure, because it's been a big success today. So thank you for that. Now, Maisie,
yes.
Let's get back to the buzzword of the show.
Communication.
We've been asking you all the different ways that you like to communicate or ways that you used to communicate in the past. Maybe you lived in a time before the internet when the world seemed much larger. And we've had a few messages in all about that. Lynn from Huddersfield has sent in a message, a picture message, and it's just a picture of a red phone box, and it says, in the 80s, this was my mobile phone.
Apart from the fact it's not mobile.
Oh, yeah. Oh, your joke didn't work, Lynn.
Oh,
I'm sorry to inform you. I mean, I found out something
it's
the other day.
Better than some of yours.
While doing site-specific performance, I didn't know that red phone boxes were listed.
Yes, they are. There's one in Huddersfield, very close to my house.
There's actually one in Lincoln on the High Street that has been converted into a cash machine.
Yes, I've seen one.
By Primark, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the one, yeah. But I've seen some that in other towns where they've been converted into coffee shops.
Oh, that's interesting.
I can't remember which town it was. It was probably in London somewhere where, because they had all of these old phone boxes that they couldn't use for telephones anymore because they were too old, they started renting them out per day. So one person decided that they'd make a small boutique coffee shop in one.
All right.
Like a coffee stall. And it was a way of sort of raising money to put back into the community so they could make more stuff like new telephone boxes.
Yeah.
I'd have to find the article I read on it.
Something similar about this. I was talking to a mate of mine called Wayne from Stowmarket, who says that near his house he has a telephone box that has been converted into like a mini library.
Oh,
that people can go and swap books and put books in and change them. I've seen one or two. I saw them on one on a campsite a long time ago when I was younger.
Yeah, there's a hotel and spa that my mum goes to once a year with her side of the family.
Yes,
and they've got bookshelves there specially designed to bring a book, leave a book. So if you find a book there that you really like and you want to take it home, feel free to. But they do kind of ask that you leave one of your books behind that maybe you don't want anymore, just so that they can keep it stocked.
Yeah, we had one of those. There was one in Lincoln, actually, on Hewson Road.
Oh, yes.
A while ago.
I actually found a film textbook.
Yes.
That I actually have used for references before.
Which was really, really cool, yeah. Now we've had another message in from Doreen, again in Huddersfield. A lot of people from Huddersfield this week. She says that in the 60s, they had the old-fashioned telephone boxes. We now use mobiles, send emails, but still love to write letters occasionally. And then she says, letter writing will soon become a dying art, and spelling for some isn't good these days because of short-form texting. Now, let's concentrate on the short-form texting bit.
Yeah, it's not something I adopt.
It's not something that... I think it was something that I used to do when I was maybe 11 or 12.
I think when... Wasn't there a time, and I think this is where it came from, wasn't there a time when you got charged per character?
No, there was a time where, before unlimited text messages became a thing, and we had credit on the phone, which is something that people still use.
You had limited characters.
You had like per text message, you had something like 400 characters,
which is quite a lot.
Yeah, but if you want
to
say
a decent text.
But people were very much, you know, you'd put for great, you'd put GR8.
Yeah, because the shorter the characters, the more time,
the less money you'd spend on credit, really.
Because you wouldn't go over one text message. Because if you went over those characters, you had to pay for two.
I used to be that sort of person that did that. I couldn't imagine texting like that now, but I look back on...
You can't imagine texting like that now, but you have Twitter.
Yes,
which is less characters.
I know, but I still try make it so that I'm talking properly.
Coherently.
Talking all proper like I do.
during that interview, because that is a pre-recorded interview, but some of your grammar was atrocious.
Oh, Maisie, you have to point out my grammar on every episode.
Because you'll never learn. But yeah, this is the thing. I did do it a little bit, but I slowly sort of started going back into doing as proper English as I can.
Yes.
I do sometimes get... I make grammar mistakes. I make grammar mistakes in essays. But... But that's a whole different story.
Oh, definitely. I mean, let's think of other ways that you like to communicate with people. Are you much of a Skyper or FaceTimer, or use any of those video calling mediums?
Not so much as I used to. Mainly because I prefer talking on the telephone.
Yes.
Because it's slightly more mobile.
Yeah.
And I don't
have
to worry about what I look like. I did just have a message in here from Jade from Hull. People have a go at me for using full stops at the end of my messages. Apparently, it makes me sound like I'm being standoffish and arguing. it has caused many online chat arguments.
Oh, yeah, I can see where people are coming from there. I'm sorry, Jade, but when you do put on like a full stop, if you put to someone like, if you just, especially
if, you just
if it's
fine,
a very
stop,
yeah, fine Ooh. Dot. That's how I know Maisie's annoyed at me. That's,
yeah, when
that's
I, when
how
I stop sending
out.
You X's and smiley faces, then I'm really annoyed.
Yeah,
at you. Whenever, or I'm really tired.
Yes, when I get a full stop off Maisie, I know that's my cue to stop.
I have a slight confession. Yes. I do know Jade.
Yes.
And I do have a lot of conversations with her where I get annoyed because I always send lots of kisses because we know each other very well, and she just sends full stops. And I know that the reason why, because there are some people who believe that you should only send those kisses if you mean it.
Yes.
If you genuinely, if you were with that person, if you would give them a kiss, that's what you'd do. And I did have friends in high school and college who were, like, when they were texting people they fancied, they got really in-depth on how the kissing worked.
I've never understood it.
I found it really silly. Like, normally I'll just send back how many people send me.
That's what I normally do.
Exactly. But I had a friend.
But someone's got to start that, surely.
I genuinely had a conversation with a friend who was like, well, he started off with 3, and then it went to 4, and then it went to 5, and then it went back to 4. So I don't know whether he likes me or whether he's trying to, like, stay off.
Oh,
I don't get it.
Oh, high school days. This is why.
I'd say high Lynn, school.
Lynn and Doreen and everyone else who was messages from the non-early noughties generation, that you have missed out on all that greatness of putting kisses at the end of text messages and wondering what they mean. It was just, I never understood it. But then again, I've never been great in relationships, so.
Oh, that got too real too quickly, Kai.
Maybe that's where I'm going wrong. Anyway, Maisie, I think on that note, we should head into another song.
We will.
We'll be taking all your contributions and get in touch with us. Let us know how you like to communicate with us in those ways,
yes.
If you possibly can. You can get in touch with us at SirenFM on Twitter, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page. Wait for the little gap here. Squabble Box. Maisie, what are we heading into?
We are heading into a request, actually.
Oh, right. Are you trying to line it up very quickly? Shall I keep talking?
I'm trying to line up very quickly, but something's gone very strange.
Well,
it's claiming to be Chirpy Chirpy Cheep Cheep by the Middle of the Road, but it's come up as something very different on the system.
All right, well, while you're doing that, I will just quickly plug what's coming up next, because at 1 p.m. In half an hour after us, Joe Hayden will be doing his slot here on Siren. Then later on at 5 o'clock till 6, we got City Vibe, followed by Drive Time, 6 till 8 p.m. And finishing off the night, 8 till 10, we have the Rock Train Extra Carriage. Maisie, are we ready to go into another song now?
We are. We'll be right back after this. Hello, and you're back with Squabblebox on Siren FM. That was requested by Richard from Huddersfield, and it was Chirpy Chirpy Cheep Cheep by the Middle of the Road.
Well, I'm sure he'll be happy that we're able to find something on the system for him, because normally when he messages in, we can't find anything. So thank you for that request, Richard. Now, we've had a message in. We're talking all about communication and the ways that you communicate. And now this is a really interesting one from Gary, who's in Salisbury, who says, "We go ghost hunting to communicate with the dead."
Ah.
That's a very interesting one. How do you feel about that one, Maisie? What are you when it comes to ghosts? Are you a believer?
Depends. I've never seen any evidence firsthand.
That's how I sort of am. I'm
not going to deny anyone else their beliefs.
Yeah,
for a minute.
I will not turn around and say that, because I know Gary has had some communications with the dead when he's been on these ghost hunts, and it's it must be a strange thing to sort of witness yourself. And without witnessing it myself, I can't claim whether that is true or not. But obviously, I believe him. And that is a way of communicating. But it's something that I really didn't expect someone to bring up on the show. So thank you for being very witty there, Gary. And bringing that one up to us.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I think we really need to mention is one of the most modern forms of the way that our communications evolved. That was a very awkward sentence, but I'm going with it.
Yes.
Emojis.
Yes. You know, I thought you were going to say something very much more vital than emojis
just emojis.
But I will bring up that later on.
Well, this is a conversation I had with my mum not too long ago.
Yes. It's
basically saying how we're getting to the point now with sort of smiley faces and emojis, which are the Apple version.
Yes.
Although Android have their own version, and you can always just use a semicolon and a smiley and a bracket. But the idea being that we've gotten to the point where we can talk to people and communicate our feelings through these sort of symbols.
Yeah, and
it can be very clear.
I'm not a big emoji user. I'll use smiley faces, but I won't use, like, the clappy hands and the... You know, I'll use smiley faces and thumbs up. That is literally my emoji use.
Thumbs up? Yeah, no, but you use the Facebook thumbs up.
No, I use both.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Never mind then. No, I quite like the emojis. I think some of them are really cute. That's why I use them. That's the only reason. Because I just feel like they're just... if I'm in a good mood, I feel like it's a good way of showing that I'm feeling kind of cute today.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, I've never been an emoji user, but if you're an emoji user, anyone out there, please get in touch with us at SirenFM on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox, and let us know what emojis do you use. I tell you what, go into your phone and look at what your top emoji is and let us know what it is want to reveal that.
I'll look into mine in a minute, actually.
Yeah, well, I'll look into mine. In fact, let's do that now. Let's do that now, Maisie. We'll do it live on the show. This could go completely wrong, ladies and gentlemen. But I guess we can always lie if it's embarrassing.
Mine's
not too bad. What's yours, Maisie?
Mine is the classic winky face.
Oh, that's it. Does that say something about you, Maisie? Or does it just mean that you like to wink?
I sass people a lot, so I wink. So I do a winky face.
Maisie's wink to me is that when she's apologising for something that she said that has offended me or something. However, mine is the laughy face, one with the tears coming out. I use that too much. Other ones on there, I've got the thumbs up, the winky face with the tongue out, and no one else can see that.
Why did you pull a face on the radio?
Oh, no. But what I want to talk about is something that all these communication things really lead into, and it's something, and that's the internet. If we didn't have the internet, then a lot of these sort of ways that we communicate would not be possible. The internet, we read a very interesting article. Rachel Bainton was telling me about this. She's one of the co-founders of Prototype Theatre that's based here in Lincoln. And she was telling me on an arts management course that she came across a document from the Arts Council online recently that must have been written in the early 90s, and it was basically someone from the Arts Council saying, oh no, don't post things about theatre on the internet, or don't promote things on the internet, it's never going to take off, it's a complete gimmick, don't bother with the internet. And now, looking back in retrospect, wrong were they?
Well, this is interesting, you just reminded me, because we were talking about abbreviating things earlier. Do you know what the first ever use of OMG, meaning oh my gosh, is? The first ever public, the first ever published use?
No.
It was Winston Churchill.
Really?
Yeah, in a document that he sent to another politician.
Oh, wow, that's really interesting. Well, we learned something new
every
show.
I know, it was really strange to think that OMG was first used by Winston.
I'll tell you something.
First known usage was Winston
That will
Churchill.
Be the one thing that the listeners today will go away and remember and go and tell their friends.
Oh, the more you know.
Now, Maisie, shall we head into another song and then come back and talk more about communication? Thank you, everyone, for listening so far. Still got a little bit of time left on the show before Joe Hayden takes over at 1 p.m. So, Maisie, what are we heading into?
We will be heading into My Kind Love by Emily Sandé. We will be right after this.
Siren FM.
I can't buy your love. Don't even want. That's when you feel my kind of love.
You are listening to Squabblebox. This is Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox. We've been with you for the last hour and 45 minutes now. It's our longest show to date, isn't it, Maisie? Because we have taken over this time slot on the for 2 hours on Siren FM every Friday between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. We hope you've enjoyed the show so far. However, today's buzzword is communication. We've been talking about a lot of the different ways that you can communicate, a lot of modern ways you can communicate.
That's what we've been mostly focusing on, but we should really go back into some of the more traditional ways of communication.
Definitely.
For a start, just simply talking to one another.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing. Language does change over time. It does evolve, which is quite interesting.
Yes.
Like, my grandparents still say phrases that I don't... that I've never heard anyone else use.
Yes.
Apart from maybe my parents, because they've adopted it. Especially because they're Scottish, so they have an awful lot of Scottish phrases that they use.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the new. That's one that, my family being Scottish as well, yeah.
my grandparents use the word we to mean small a lot. So does my mum, and then from there, my dad's adopted it, and now me and my sister have.
You know, we could do a whole show on regional dialects, and in fact, that might be something for the future. Get some people from different dialects, different areas, and talk about the differences and how they can all...
There's a debate that goes on in FTV and media production all the time, those being two courses at the university, and we've had genuine arguments over what do you call a bread roll?
This is something that we're going to have to save for another week, because this could go on for a whole hour. Let's talk about other ways of communication. Sign language.
Sign language, definitely. Especially because I always found sign language very interesting. I did try to learn it on a very short course as part of a volunteering scheme, but the course itself was very short. So I didn't actually get to learn that much past the alphabet and some key words.
All right.
But what I learned while I was there was very interesting, because it was taught by a woman and her son being almost all deaf and her being half deaf.
Yes.
So, and the thing is, he learned a different form of sign language than she did, because he went to a specific school in Durham.
Yeah, well, there are the two main ones in the UK are BSL, British Sign Language, mm-hmm. and Makaton, which is what my mum always taught me, because she was a special needs teacher for many, many, many years. Yeah. And I learned, I can do, now I've not done it for a long time, but I can do the alphabet, and which can really help with communication as well.
Well, this is the interesting thing that they were telling me during this course, was that there are different regions in England that have different dialects and sign language, just like we do with our spoken words.
Oh, definitely.
And so it was quite funny. At one point, he was trying to teach us a certain word for something, and his mum was there going like, "That's not the right word.
Yes.
You're doing the wrong thing." And they were getting into it. They started getting into a sign language argument, but because we were novices, we had no idea what they were talking about. So we were there just watching them flailing their arms at each other angrily.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw... I've been watching a comedian recently. Obviously, people will have heard of him. Adam Hills. He's one of my favourite comedians. And he has a sign language interpreter on stage with him at all his shows, so that people who are deaf and hard of hearing can come and watch it. But to be honest, she's hilarious as well, which makes it really, really, really funny. But there is a thing that he says at the beginning of all his shows where he says, just so people know, that this lady, she isn't deaf. Because people get surprised by that, and then I go, no, that's the point. She's got to be able to hear to be able to interpret me, which I find quite funny. Now, Maisie, to round off the show, what would be your, like, what's your favourite way of communicating with people? It doesn't have to be the easiest way, but what's your favourite way of communicating people across the whole thing?
I like talking to them face-to-face.
Yes.
If I have the option, I'd always want to be face-to-face.
I do find it easier talking to people face-to-face because then it's... There's no, because when you're texting and messaging over platforms like Facebook and Twitter, things, sarcasm is not something that is easy
sarcasm
to...
Sarcasm does not travel well. I manage it with you, but only because you know me so well.
No, you don't manage it, Maisie. You're awful at it, to point blank.
I am the best at sarcasm.
But Maisie's the best at sarcasm, but no one else realises she's being sarcastic.
Yeah, that is. I've offended roommates so much by saying something which I think is sarcastically. Turns out I'm just a very straight...
I mean,
talker.
We touched on it earlier in the show about communicating through video messaging, which is obviously something that, you know, we first came and saw in something like Back to the Future.
Yes.
Which it was big promoted, and it has become such a big thing today, yet we can get it on our mobile phones, not big screens.
You can get it on big screens if you wish.
You can do, yeah.
It's just more convenient to have it on a small screen.
And that's something that I find when I go on holiday, it's free. It's easy to use. Video calling.
Assuming that there's Wi-Fi
somewhere
around. Yes,
video calling and Wi-Fi. As Wi-Fi gets bigger, communication's going to become bigger, which will make the world smaller. And I think that sort of sums up.
It does, especially considering that you, your main form of communication is to your family, at least, is video messaging, which is hilarious to me. Because you, for some reason, when you're on video messaging,
I'm
you
very
talk
loud,
so
I'm very loud, yes. And that is the definition of Squabblebox, everyone, for the new listeners. We'd like to thank you for tuning in to our first show here on our new home at 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. on Fridays here at Siren FM. We hope that you can check us out on... we have our own Twitter page, which is at Squabblebox. We also have our own Facebook page, Squabblebox on Siren, and we follow everything that's going on here on Siren FM. Like I say, after the news, Joe Hayden's going to be coming on between 1 and 3. Later on tonight, we've got City Vibe, Drive Time, and the Rock Train Extra Carriage. Please stick around on Siren and check out everything that's going on through the next few hours and through every day. Check out every day here on Siren.
Just play Siren and then don't turn off.
That's me and my plugs done for this week. Let's get out of here, Maisie, and send it into Joe Hayden after the news.
After the news, but not before this request by Jade from Hull, which is Does Your Mama Know by ABBA. We'll be right back next week.
Siren FM. Like your radio local? Tune in to Siren FM 107.3.